we thank you for all that you do. If you want to give a gift here, we have envelopes in the front and the back, here in the stable, out in the foyer. And we thank you for your gifts. So far, God's been faithful to provide everything. I know I already know all of you. How many in here don't want to give anything? See, that's easier, isn't it? I know you do, because why? God has a giving heart. For God, what? So loved the world, he gave his one and only son. I know all of you have giving hearts. And, most of us here, we want to give more than we are. Hallelujah. But we want to just be faithful in what we have right now. See, it's not about being faithful. Oh, well, when I get that $100,000 or that $1 million that comes in, Pastor Doug, I'm telling you, I'm going to bless this church. Probably not. I said, what? Probably not. What do you mean? The Bible says when we are faithful with little, we'll be faithful with much. It's being faithful with the $5 that I have today. It's being faithful with the $10 he blesses me with today. Most ministries are not, they're not run on $1 million gifts. Billy Graham, what the average gift to their ministry is? Obviously they get some bigger and some smaller, but the average gift to their ministry is $3. $3. Well, they get a lot of $3. Thank God. Many people know them and so forth. But the whole key is it's not about the size of your gift, but it is about the size of our heart. And what is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? And that may be your part of your call. Maybe, the Bible does talk about the grace of giving. One of the calls of the body of Christ is that you can be a gospel entrepreneur. In other words, you live on a certain amount of money and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do with the rest? He may have you invest it to make more money, to give it not for myself, but to give into the gospel. See, my salary, me and God, we talk, and you set your salary. See, if you're a gospel entrepreneur, you set your salary. You say, well, I'm going to live on what God and I talk about. Well, Lord, I think I need, X number of dollars. Okay, you and him talk it over and see where he brings you to. That means if I say my salary is at $120,000 a year, maybe I'm a gospel entrepreneur, maybe I have a business, maybe I don't. But I bring in money to the kingdom, then I live on $120,000 a year. If I make $10 million, I live on $120,000 a year. If I make $100 million, I live on $120,000 a year. Because that's what God and I decided. That's what God's will is. And I become what? A steward for God. That means I don't borrow money from what he gives me. I don't start changing my lifestyle unless I go to him for a raise. Now, he's not stingy and he'll probably give you one. But you have to listen to what he's saying. And so you may have $10 million that you're stewarding for God. God, what do you want me to do with this? Well, I'd like you to put so much here, so much in this investment for these particular ministries. I want you to support that ministry. It may not be this ministry. Maybe it's some other ministry. We're not looking for your money. I'm just giving you an idea of some of the calls of God. Some people never hear that there's a gospel entrepreneur call, that God can give you money, that God can show you ways, show you hidden riches and secret places. There's some people, they can make money faster than you can even think. And you're like, wow, that's awesome. But it's not for them. It's for the kingdom. And it's not easy, because the Bible says what? The love of money. So you can't have the love of money. Now, you can have no money and have the love of money. I understand that. I really do. But when it comes forward, it's to be stewarded for God. How many would like that call? See, you steward your job. You steward that just like the pastor stewards his gift to teach and to bring forth the truth and to help guide the church and help bring forth vision for us and help us to walk with God. It's the same thing. Every part supplies. See, some people say, well, we're all, no, see, everybody in here is a, yes, all of us are called to be a witness for God. But not everybody is an evangelist. Do you understand the difference? an evangelist has some gifts that come with it. Hallelujah. Amen. There's gifts that come with an evangelist. Now, we're talking about the gifts of God, apparently. But there's different grace that comes on each person's life. And the grace of God for one is not the same as another. He gave what? Gifts differing. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. Now, these, here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Now, here in Ephesians, he's talking about a fivefold ministry gift. That means that some people call what we call or the body of Christ. We say, well, this is a fivefold ministry gift, and it is a little bit different than some of the other gifts of the Spirit that come in operation. For example, if someone here, it says, and he gave some, does that say all? No, it says some, right? Apostles. Now, you know, and some prophets, and some what? Evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So we have some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's all of us. How many in here know that you're a saint? If you've been born again, the Bible doesn't call you any longer a sinner. You're now a saint. You're a son or daughter of God. And you become a saint. That doesn't mean some people are saints and some are not. You know, sometimes they say, well, he was so good, then we kind of give him that. Some places they say he gets in the sainthood. No, we all get in the sainthood. A saint is just someone that's been forgiven by God, has been born again, and loves God. Amen? So for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing, we could say. Perfecting is just another word for maturing, really is a better word there. Because it's not necessarily saying we're coming to full perfection, but we're maturing. How many know that your children, when you have them, or if you were a child, you had to mature, didn't you? Or we could say you come to adulthood or more perfection in this life, in your body. But he says we have maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So what are these five offices for? It says this is what they're for. What? The apostle, mighty apostle, he's the one that goes out a lot of times. He is very much someone that goes ahead and starts churches and starts ministries and gets things rolling. I mean, like the Apostle Paul, he established many churches. He went many places. In other words, really, an apostle is just a sent one. Now, we don't have any more specifically the apostles of the Lamb, which were the ones that hung around with Jesus, the 12 that Jesus chose. Those were the apostles of the Lamb. Now today, obviously, they're apostles of Jesus, but it's not the same type of ministry in that sense. Yet they are a sent one. When God takes them, he'll send them certain places. He said, I want you to go establish a church in St. Thomas. They might be there a couple of years. They get that church established. They turn it over to a pastor and they move, what? To the next town or the next place, the next city that God may give them. And Paul did this many times. He started it, you know, church in Ephesus. He started the church in Corinth. You know, he said, hey, I have a right to speak into your life. I started you in the faith. And then, you know, and they would write him sometimes with questions. And that's what a lot of 1 Corinthians is Paul is answering their questions. Because many of them in the Corinthian church were Gentiles. They were actually started with a lot of people who were sent by the ruler at the time, the Pharaoh at the time. And he decided, let's send those drunks and prostitutes and all those people over there to Corinth because it had been closed down for about 100 years. So they reopened the city and they start living there. And so Corinth had a lot of flesh, earthly things going on. A lot of drunkenness, a lot of, you know, promiscuity sexually. They had a lot of things happening. And so they were, you know, they weren't used to serving God. They got born again and, you know, they had a few problems. They were still maturing in the faith. Amen. And that's what God has set the apostle in that place and some prophets. Now, you know, sometimes we see that, you know, we say, oh, the apostle, he kind of touches all the ministries. Prophet, oh, he's got that pointed finger. Thus saith God. You know, and really the prophet is a present day prophet is not someone who just comes up and prophesies. I mean, the Bible says in Corinthians, we'll get over there in a minute, but you see, we need to distinguish the office of a prophet is someone that the Old Testament talks about a seer, someone that can see the direction of God for the body of Christ. They begin to see some things and that primarily they come and they teach those things to the body of Christ. This is the direction. This is where we are. Here's where we're heading. Here's what's happening right now in the body of Christ. And then they may bring sometimes they do bring correction. Now, sometimes they do have words for specific people. You know, if someone's in grave disobedience, they may say, brother, you need to change or you'll die. Let's go have coffee. That's what the Lord said. You need to change or you're going to die. You know, and he may give him specifics of what the Lord showed him. But those are things that are not, that's not his primary call one-on-one. His primary call is to the body of Christ. What? For the maturing of the saints. He's to help teach and help guide us. And we say, oh, he kind of sees the overall picture of God and where we are and where God wants the body of Christ to go. And he has clear vision many times. And so we see that in some evangelists. How many know what the evangelist is? Amen. Well, usually the evangelist, they'll see there are equippings that come with most of these gifts. A lot of times you'll see the prophet, he has what? Word of wisdom, a word of, not wisdom from heaven, a word of wisdom. In other words, what God gives him, he sees a certain amount of the wisdom of God and he brings that forth, which pertains toward the future. And then you'll see him a lot of times, he may have discerning of spirits. A lot of the gifts that are revelation gifts operate a lot of times on the prophet. Now the apostle, he'll operate a lot of times in great power. We saw Paul. Special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. He had special miracles that came. Supernatural faith, special faith came in operation. The power of God began to flow. Many times that'll be on an apostle. It's not that other gifts can't flow, but I'm saying there are primary gifts that often accompany these offices. It doesn't mean, now see, anybody in here can flow in any nine gifts of the Spirit. We'll talk about that. That's over in Corinthians. We'll get there in a minute, I think. Anyway, but the prophet, you know, is the one. Hey, he's got the direction of God. He's there. The evangelist, he stands out ahead. See, a lot of times he's up here over everybody. Come on, let's go. He stirs the body of Christ. He begins to stir and bring in excitement, and a lot of times faith begins to come. And yet a lot of times you'll see the power gifts in their life. They'll have the gift of faith operate or the gift of miracles. Now the gift of faith, that's just when things that are not seen, a lot of times it take place. I'll give you an example, like Smith Wigglesworth, he's told a guy, he said he didn't have any feet. Matter of fact, he had wooden legs. He said, I want you to go buy a pair of shoes and put your feet in them, and God will give you a miracle. Now that's the gift of faith. His faith, not the guy's faith. It was, you know, flowing through that evangelist. He was a great evangelist. And he went and bought some shoes. They said, what size you want? He says, well, I don't know. I guess a nine, you know. He stuck his pegs in there, and feet began to grow right into his shoes. And he received a creative miracle. from the gift of faith. Now, sometimes the gift of faith that come on you, I mean, you know, and you don't really realize it, but you operate. Now, brother, I know that's been hurting you forever. And you raise his arm up in the air and he screams, but nothing hurts, you know. And you did that, and later on, see, when that gift wasn't on you, you go home and you're having dreams of, oh my God, what did I do? You know, because the faith of God came on you. It was a gift that came into operation. The gift of faith. Awesome gift. I love that gift. That's what usually comes into operation when people need a creative miracle of some kind. Now, they don't have to be there. We can all receive by faith. How many knows that? You can receive by faith at any time. Your faith can grow. You can use your faith. You can get a miracle anytime. You don't have to wait for a gift to come in operation, although they can. And many times they do flow in the evangelist. The gifts of healing, the gift of miracles, you know, where something in the natural, you know, whatever it is, wasn't possible but became possible. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, hallelujah. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saint. And then he said, some pastors. Now, a lot of times people say, well, there's that finger there. And what do we put our wedding band on, you know? The pastor is married to the church, they say. In other words, he walks with people day by day. That's what we have here. You have a family of believers. Why? Because we need one another. And we have a local congregation, to where the pastor oversees and he helps to walk with you through whatever it is you're facing and can give basic instruction. Sometimes we'll have messages here that are not for the whole world, but they're for our church, and to help bring the direction and the and what is established and what God wants to do, and help you find out everything you are in Christ and to mature into the things of God. And, of course, teachers. Now, some people, a lot of times, the pastor is a teacher. Often, normally, not always. Sometimes he's more of a preacher. I kind of preach. That means I preach and I teach. So, but we flow with God. And so a teacher, normally, you know, I'd like Gary Carpenter. God has told him he's a teacher. He said, you're not a pastor, you're a teacher. And the teacher will bring the word of God and he'll say, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Now do it. You go do it. Well, I know, brother, but no, that's for the pastor. He'll talk to you about it. He'll help you understand more. Not that he doesn't help you understand, because the teacher's very understandable. Gary, bring it down to your level, but now it's up to you to do it. You know, he might be a little bit more, not a lot, but he might be a little bit more straight with you. Well, the Bible said, stop worrying, now stop it. And that's true. However, when we walk with one another, we understand the pastor's going to take you by the hand. He's going to teach you and show you how to work through that, how to stop worrying. What do we do? Well, I know, but it's so on my mind. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I glorify you. I exalt you. Now, mind, you stop thinking about that. Matter of fact, oh, there's something I got to do. Write it down. Get your piece of paper. Keep it next to you. Just jot it down. I worship you, Lord. See, your mind is not battling you when you start thinking of other things. It's just that you finally got quiet enough and your mind's doing what was created to do, reminds you things. And you start thinking about it. And so it finally got quiet enough. So really it's operating properly. But we want to take those thoughts captive. And so sometimes just jotting them down will help. Sometimes I got a whole list of stuff to do. And oh, thank you, mind. Thank you, Mr. Devil. I appreciate you trying to stop me. But praise the Lord, I've got my whole list of what I need to do today. Glory to God, or this week, or whatever it is. So, but worship will help that worry a lot. You know, you can come to the place where you're so filled with the Word of God. If you'll take the Word of God, worship Him. I thank you, Father. You're my provider. I'm not going to worry about that. I know it's a $100,000 bill, but I'm going to trust you. I praise you. And, you know, when your collector calls you, you can be at peace. Well, they don't seem worried about it at all. and they're trying to get you to do something. You said, you ever been there? Yeah, I was there once. I broke my leg several years ago back in 05. And I couldn't work for a little while. How many know when you have bills, they pile up? And I had one collector and he would call me every day. Every day. He said, well, you heard this already. Well, I know, but it's good to repeat. He called me every single day and I said, Lord, I don't know what to say to him because they're trying to get me to pay something, you know, do something. And I was waiting for some money and I did have some money coming, but you know, they said, well, when are you expecting your money? I said, any day now. Why? Because I'm believing God. Amen. Are you expecting some money? Yes, I am. Well, when's it coming? I said, as soon as it gets here. When's it going to be there? As soon as it comes. I said, don't you have a little box in that computer? We'll pay when money comes. You know, very simple. I said, as soon as I receive it, I will pay you. And I did. But, you know, he's calling me every day. And so finally I talked to him one day and I said, listen, I'm on the shuffle method. The shuffle method? I said, yes, sir. I've got a stack of bills right here. And right now you're on top. But if you keep calling me every day, you're going to be put on the bottom and you're going to get nothing. So please, you can call me once a month. That's it. And he listened to me. Thank God, you know, and he called me. And I talked to him. I'm not afraid to talk to him. I'd already called them. I had let them know what's going on. Right now, that particular bill, how many know you got to take care of your, what, place to live, your electric, you know, your gas, well, electric, hydro, whatever, you know, your gas, right? Your water, if that's separate. You know, you got to take care of the basics of life and then whatever's left over, then I can apply to what I have to pay. You know, everything else is on hold for a moment. Hallelujah. I don't know why I got on that, but anyway, I did. Well, because I know what I got on, because we could have the peace of God. And I begin to worship God. Thank Him. You're my provision, Lord. Yeah, but look how much that is. I know how much it is. But my God's bigger. He's bigger than my lack. If I'm minus 100, He's plus 110. If I'm minus 1,000, He's plus 1,000 plus. Amen. He's more than enough. It doesn't matter what my negative is. God is enough. And He came through and He was faithful. Anyway, but this is the purpose of having people in the body of Christ, these gifts, these five gifts primarily, for what? The maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Usually they're the ones that handle the word of God. They are on the handle side. Amen. You know, and the Bible is like a sword, and sometimes we got to turn that handle what back to us. Amen. We all do. Till we all come to what? The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or to a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we're growing up to be like Jesus. We're maturing. And that's why we have here our keys that we walk in, right? Certain things that we do, spiritual disciplines, like worship. Amen. Not long ago on Wednesday night, we had what? Doers meeting. What do you mean a doers meeting, Pastor? Yeah, we had worship. Just worship. Just worship. Worship God for an hour, hour and a half. Maybe 2 hours if we keep going. But the presence of God comes so nice. It was a very sweet presence, but it was very good. It was awesome. How many know that God's presence may change you more than any word that Pastor Doug can speak? One touch from Him. I know there's been services I've been in. And I got up to speak and I couldn't say a word. I tried several times to start. And the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying I couldn't have. I could have overrode Him, but He was stopping me. I just stood there. And the presence of God came. And we had several people that had God speak to them, that had certain circumstances change in their life. Several documented reports. You say, well, how could that be? Because He is greater than I. He's way bigger than you and I. He's bigger than your struggle. He's bigger than the problem. He's bigger than we are. And when we begin to listen and we have these gifts that God gave, you say, well, we don't really need them, brother. I don't think it's really necessary. I don't need a prophet in my life. Bless God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. From time to time, we need to listen to the evangelist, to the prophet, and different people in the body of Christ that hopefully, you know, as we continue to grow and mature here, we'll have those exposures. It doesn't mean they have to, if someone has to call themselves Apostle so-and-so, they're probably not. I'm just saying. You don't have to advertise who you are. You know, I'm Doug. That's my name. I'm called to be a son and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just happen to have the gift of pastor that He gave me. I'm Brother Doug, called to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be a pastor, called to help guide us and lead us beside the still waters. Amen. To bring us into good feeding ground. That doesn't mean I know everything. But I know Him, and I know where He wants us to go, and I gain that for our thing. Anyway, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12 for a minute. Hallelujah. Oops, back this way. 1 Corinthians 12. We'll just start at the first verse. But here, and you'll also see these gifts in chapter 12. Now, the first part here is where we see spiritual gifts, okay? Now, concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, gifts is italicized there, so I just kind of left it out for a minute. So, concerning spiritual things, in other words, or spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same. But it is the same Spirit. Now there's different kinds of gifts. In other words, diversity just means different ones, but it is what? The same Holy Spirit that they operate with. Okay, the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Amen. The same Lord. In other words, different kinds of ministries, but it is the same Lord. And there are diversities or different kinds of operations of these gifts or different activities that take place, right? Operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. He works in all things, all of these gifts. He's working it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all or to profit everybody. The manifestation of the gifts. Now these are the simple gifts, for to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Now you, anybody, can operate in any of these nine gifts of the Spirit. Okay, any Christian that's born again, yes, pretty much you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit because they probably aren't going to come otherwise. I didn't have any of these gifts operate in my life until I received the Holy Spirit and I began to pray in other tongues. That's what you receive. When the Holy Spirit comes in His fullness, you'll begin to pray in other tongues. And as you pray in other tongues, you'll begin to see manifestations of these gifts. And you say, well, have you ever operated in the word of wisdom? Yes, I have. I haven't operated in every single gift here, but most of them at one time or another. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge That doesn't mean that you know everything. I wish I could make it operate any time I wanted, but it only comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to also caution you and realize you can operate in that in your prayer closet. Do you understand? God can show you something to come. Usually, word of wisdom is something toward the future. It's a word that God shows you about something, and he may want you to pray about it. He may not even want you to tell anybody. These gifts can operate right there in your prayer closet as well as in a church service or anywhere that you go. Okay, you may have a word of wisdom. Another, the word of knowledge, which is just a portion of God's present knowledge, something that has happened in the past or that is happening right now. I've been used in that a lot. I was used in the word of knowledge mostly dealing with healing. You know, I've had several words of knowledge. I remember one night I was ministering in a church and came across and I said, somebody's been having trouble with their stomach. And I pointed to this lady and I said, ma'am, is that you? She says, yeah, that's me. Well, in her mind, she was thinking, that's not real. That's not even God. And God pointed her out. Did you know for sure it was her? No, I didn't. But she was pointed out. God knew. God took me right to her and she received a healing just like that. Moment I said it, boom, in Jesus' name, I said, be healed. Every pain left her body. Why? Because it was a gift of the Spirit. I can't make that happen, but we can create an atmosphere in the house where God can use us in those things. We are always open for that. But it as he says here in a minute, we'll see, as the Spirit of God wills. See? But it's to profit everybody. Okay, one is given wisdom, knowledge by the same Spirit. Next, discerning another faith or special faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, plural gift. Gifts of healing usually deals with, could be a physical ailment, but it could also be emotional. How many know there are people in emotional wheelchairs that need to come out? I've seen the gifts of healing come in operations and be free just like that. Boom, depression left them. Their mental torment disappeared. Wow. And that's an awesome gift. That's wonderful. All of these are awesome. How many, well, what's the best gift, Pastor? Well, it's the one that you need the most right then. Amen. I mean, if you need healing, you don't need to have a prophecy given to you, do you? You need to receive healing. Amen. Okay, to another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, I want to say something about that there. I mean, the prophecy, because someone prophesies, the simple gift of prophecy, does not mean they're a prophet. It doesn't mean they're called to be a prophet. I've prophesied many times because I was hungry and I was asking God to use me in the gifts. And I'm telling you, I was scared to death. First time they come on me, so he'd have to come on me so strong, I was almost shaking. God, I didn't give it. Oh, Father, I knew I had a word. Father, for the church, I'm so sorry, God. Please give me another chance. How many know God is merciful? And he gave me another chance. He said, well, did you do it that time? No, I didn't do it the second time. Oh, God, I was so nervous. I was so scared. God, you've got to anoint me. Like he wouldn't, you know. And then I finally gave that word. I heard somebody speaking. And I realized it was me. Oh, my God, it was me. He used me in the gift of prophecy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, oh, how wonderful am I, you know. It's his gift that he gives you, that you speak out. He's really using you. You know, he's just using you, you know. I was just a good donkey that day. The other 2 days, I wasn't a very good donkey. I wasn't obedient. But I became obedient. But just because you prophesy, a lot of times it's the simple gift of prophecy. The Bible says it's for edification, exhortation, or comfort. If it doesn't edify you, if it doesn't exhort you, if it doesn't comfort you, throw it out. It's not when the lady, you know, somebody comes in, well, so-and-so's going to die in your family next week. That was not edification. That was not, you know, it didn't comfort you. It was not good. Throw it out. They missed God. Now, a prophet could say that if that's really truly, and it'd have to witness with your spirit. Any prophecy you get needs to witness with you. You need to discern it. You have the right to judge it. You personally. Say, well, I don't think that means anything. Well, put it on the shelf and just pray about it. Let God, if it's God, it'll come back to you. If it's not, don't worry about it. I got to a place where I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if I'm going to get a prophecy, would you tell me in advance, please? I did. And you know what? He did. He always did. He said, today you're going to, receive. I want you to receive the word that they give you. I said, okay. I mean, you know, my great faith, you know. Then I was in such great faith, you know. Not really. I just said, okay, Lord, it's going to happen today. Okay. And it did happen. And I did receive it. But most of the time it's the edification, exhortation, or comfort. It's not to expose you. Now, if somebody's exposing you in public and you don't know them and they don't speak into your life, I'm not talking about something that if somebody does something several times in public and then they may be asked to please sit down or whatever, that's different. But if someone exposes you in public about something very private, I would be very concerned about that individual. Because God's not here to embarrass you. He didn't call that to embarrass you. Now, if somebody knows something about you that's of a private matter, then they should come to you privately. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. If people do, you know, it's not to embarrass people. They can talk to me. Say, hey, I'm the pastor here. I saw such and such about so-and-so. Can we talk? Yeah, we could meet and talk privately. Doesn't have to be done in front of everybody and nobody needs to know. Amen. How many know not everybody needs to know all your past? Amen. You don't have to tell them all your, Aunt Laney, I'll see you right now, ma'am. You had 5 abortions. Well, maybe she doesn't want everybody to know she said 1 abortion. Maybe they didn't know that she had been promiscuous in her life in the past. And now she's serving Jesus and she's been forgiven and cleansed. But God wanted to bring a healing in our ministry. It's not for you to display over everybody everything. Well, I had to do it, brother. He just came on me so strong I had to. No, you didn't. You didn't. Because the Bible says that the prophecy or the ministry gift is subject to the one ministry. He came on me so strong, and I still didn't give a prophecy because I was too afraid. My fear overrode me a couple of times before I was finally obedient. And that's okay. He'll work with you. So, well, why are you telling your mistake? Because I'm not ashamed of it. I know that we have to what? Mature. I had to mature. I had to grow up. I had to learn how to walk with Him, how to follow Him in these different gifts. I remember one time God told me about somebody. I knew all about their emotional trauma. And I run over to, you know, and what He wanted me to do was to intercede for them. And I run over and tell them and pray for them and they get free. And then they said to me, now what? And I was so young in the Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know what to tell them. I didn't know what to do. Amen. How many know we got to mature? We've got to be ready to help them. Many times things get exposed in people's lives, but we have to be prepared. That's why we have to spend time with God. That's why we have to know what the Word of God says. Not today, I could help them. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to start spending time with God. You need to get the Word of God in you on these particular subjects. Why? Because if we don't get the Word of God, how many know? The enemy comes back and makes it 7 times worse. If we're not careful, we can do people harm. And so we have to learn to interpret these things as the Spirit of God gives them to us. Anyway, so prophecy to another discerning of spirits, that's where normally a lot of people's where they see into the spirit realm, or you could have kind of a word of knowledge, knowing that it is a demonic force. God could speak that to you. But a lot of times, discerning of spirits is normal. Discerning of spirits is not discerning a human spirit necessarily. That's called suspicion. Amen. It's good preaching. That is. It's not being suspicious of what somebody, I just discern he has this spirit or that spirit. No. The discerning of spirits when you see into the spirit realm and you see that spirit and what it's doing to them. Or you may receive it through a word of knowledge as well. But that's the discerning of spirits. It's not being suspicious of every little thing and everybody that's around you and they don't have this spirit or that. They may have some things on them. I don't know, you know. But that's not for you unless God shows you. If he didn't show you, then pray for him. Spend some time. See, your ears are not trash cans. You don't have to listen to junk about somebody else. If somebody brings that to you, say, I see they're on your heart. Would you like to start the prayer right now? I'll agree with you. Let's pray for them right now. You know, it stops a lot of that. Amen. You don't have to hear nonsense about people. You can say, hey, I see that's on your heart. Let's pray for them. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, the different kinds of, discerning of spirits we just missed. To another, diverse or different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self same spirit dividing to every man severally, what? As he will. As the Holy Spirit wills, these come into operation. Now, the only two that are for the New Testament church is tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now here, he's not talking about interpretation in your own private life necessarily, but in a church service. If someone may have a message from God, and they, let's just say the sister here, she says, oh, I have a message from God, Pastor, and she speaks out in tongues. And someone else, or maybe that same person, receives the interpretation of that. The Bible says that is equal to prophecy, to saying it, in other words, it's an unknown tongue to us, or the tongue of God, that God gives us, and may come out in a service like this. And then someone receives the interpretation of that. Well, do you know how to interpret tongue? Most of the time, God will give it to me. Now it didn't start out that way. Like I said, I wanted to be used in that. He used me in giving a tongue a lot of times, and other people would interpret it. But then later on, I started receiving interpretation as the Spirit wills, the Holy Spirit gives me. Now, if you get some of these gifts or something like that in a service, it may be to give, it may not be, because it's subject to that person. The Bible says, even if there's no interpretation, what speak to yourself and to God. You don't have to give it, in other words. And a lot of times, sometimes in a service, there'll be times when if I'm preaching, I already have that message. That message is already in there. If I feel the need or if you have something, lift your hands, but don't be discouraged or think I'm against you. You weren't called on to give it. Amen. Because it may not be necessary. It may already be known. Maybe I've already, I already know that I have that. Or it's going to be said here in a minute. Because a lot of times it will come along with, that was God. Because it went right along with the service, and a lot of times it is. But it doesn't always have to be given. You don't have to necessarily give your message. Now, the pastor missed it. No, the pastor didn't necessarily miss it. He already knew what God direction God was taking it. And you may give it at another time. Praise the Lord. For as the body is one, and as many members, and all the members of the body, members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but what, many members. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No, it is. He's giving an analogy here. He said it's kind of like a human body. You know, and when we find our part, or we're bringing what? A part. You're not bringing everything. You're bringing a part. You're bringing your part, or the part that God gives to you. And so we could go on here, but I don't know what time it is. I can't see the clock today. It is 12:10. Oh boy. Well, anyway, but these are what's working in our life, and it is by the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. See, the ministry gifts are for what? The building up, the edifying of the body of Christ. And then the spiritual gifts that can come in operation also bring profit, what? To all. They can bring an edification, comfort. They bring what? Healing. They can bring a miracle. They can bring all sorts of things in there. Word of knowledge. In other words, boom, if I know, I don't know what was it, not too long ago, I had a word of knowledge. Someone had a certain problem and they came forward and received healing. Amen. Now, if they don't respond, I can't help that. Sometimes people don't respond. That's okay. You know, we can still believe God with them. Pray. Amen. I mean, no, that's good, but you should. If God calls something out for you, then He wants to do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Now He doesn't. Now don't wait for the gifts to come in operation to get what you need. You can go to Him, straight to Him. But that's the operation there of the Holy Spirit working in a local body here in this house. They can operate as the Spirit wills. Amen. And as you spend more time in prayer, He usually, a lot of times, He'll start using you first in your prayer closet. He'll say, oh, pray for so-and-so. They need this. Or you may see something in the realm of the Spirit and you begin to pray for it. You know, a lot of times that's a great place to start, right in your own prayer closet. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We can start right where we are. Amen. And so, and a lot of times the more we pray, the more of these things happen, the more of the gifts come in operation, and God is glorified. God wants these things. Why? He gave them to the body. He gave gifts unto the men. And He wants them to be operated in. Amen. Well, anyway, we'll stop there for today. We could move down further. But we are one body, one Spirit. And they all happen through Him. Amen. As the Holy Spirit wills, He's going to begin to use you. And you can begin to pray about that. Let me give one verse there that we're in 1 Corinthians. But there in the... I think it's, let me see the exact verse here. You can pray that prayer for yourself. I want to give that to you because he said, verse 31, very last verse there in 12, he says, but covet earnestly, or, you know, the best gifts. In other words, desire them. Okay. How many knows what to covet is? That means if you see something, you really want it bad. I really, really want it. That's what it means. But I desire earnestly, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. And so we can covet, we can desire these gifts. We can begin to pray and ask God. Say, Lord, help me desire the gifts of the Spirit of God. That the gifts can flow. God can use you or He can use other people, but as we all pray and we desire those things, they begin to come into more manifestation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the gifts that You've given to the body of Christ, Lord. Lord, not just the five ministry gifts, Lord, but also, Lord, the gifts of the Spirit that minister through each and every believer. Father, we want to see these things come to pass. We say that we hunger for them. We desire them, Father. And we ask that You would begin to use us in them, whether it be one-on-one or in our prayer time or here at the church, Lord. Whatever it is, wherever we are, we hunger for Your power, for Your love, for Your gifts so that lives can be changed and people can be touched with Your power. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now see, these things can begin to come in operation. And sometimes God has a specific person he wants to use, but if someone is spiritual, sometimes they'll pick up on it. And if they don't give it, like I didn't give it, somebody else will give it. You know, sometimes he has one person he really wants to use. But if you don't give it, it's not the end of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.